Our message title today, in acknowledgement of Labor Day here in the United States, is Who Does the Work Around Here? But before we get into that, let us call forth the God presence from within ourselves with our invocation. I call forth God's presence from the center of my mind. I release all negativity from the past week and open myself to God thoughts, inspired action, and peace of mind and heart. I allow God to work through me and flow through me to others. I give thanks that at any time I can bring my focus back to God's presence within me always. As I let it be so, so it is. No matter what our work is, our purpose is for being here in the world, no matter what kind of work we do, or whether you consider it work or not, even whether or not you have a job, as it were, you do some kind of work in this world. And a very important factor in that work, and whether we're successful, whether we enjoy our work, and whether it serves, is the health of our physical body. Because it is a vehicle. The body is a vehicle for God presence to express through us. And as we're created in God's image, health is our natural birthright. And so we affirm that our bodies are an outpicturing of this health. And to do this, we'll have a treatment for health, as is our custom. And so if you would, just sit back in your chair. Put your feet flat on the floor, or cross your ankles, whichever is most comfortable for you. And close your eyes and turn within for a few moments with me. I turn away from the outer world for a few moments to enter into the inner world of my own mind, soul, and spirit. Here in the light of God consciousness within me, I recognize that health is the perfection of God. God is perfect in all things, and manifestations of God are ideally perfect. I acknowledge that in order to be an outpicturing of health, I must align my mind with God mind. The mind and power of God are within me, and I identify them now as my true self. There is nothing I have to do or that I can do to accept this mind, this power, and my own perfect health, for it is within me already. Health is already mine because I am a child of God, created in His image. I choose to display and make real and make visible this health in my physical body now. And to do this, I give up my personal ego and its will and allow the will of God to work through me and express by means of me. My mind is a vehicle of God, where God thoughts take form. And my body is a vehicle where they express outwardly. Every cell, every organ and tissue, and every system of my body functions perfectly in the mind of God. I put aside all negativity and let it be transformed into love love is the essence of God, and God is love. Love is health. Love is peace of mind, and love is the knowing that as a child of God, I cannot truly be sick, or in pain, or in any discomfort. Discomfort is caused by the ego, which then thinks it can fix it. But I realize that a problem cannot be fixed on the same level that it was created on. And so I lift my mind and connect it, making it one with God mind in my awareness. For I am always one with God, and nothing can separate me from God. And as my awareness shifts to oneness, the ego and its fear and negativity and pain and illness fall away. And I am an outpicturing of divine health. I know that I must maintain this self-image of health in order to continue to express it. And so I ask for guidance that in all other hours and moments of my day, when I'm not formally praying or treating, that my image of health and my image of myself as a creation of God be maintained. And should the ego enter into any of my moments, I ask that it be sublimated by the God mind. I affirm and give thanks that this is so, and so it is. So the question we're asking today is, who does the work around here? Where is here? Well, here, in this case, is your life. Who does the work in your life? Who does the work in my life? Do we? And what happens if we think we do? Let's really make this human for a few moments here. Who goes to your job? If you have a job that you go to Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or whenever that is, who goes there? Who does the work? You probably think that you do. And so it appears. It looks like you do. You go to your job, you do whatever it is that you are contracted to do. You'll get paid to do it. Hopefully you think it's enough pay. If you don't, well, then you're probably not very happy in your work. But, here we go. This is all ego crap. The ego itself is an illusion, and so everything it thinks, feels, experiences, demonstrates, everything that it comes up with, everything it conjures up, is an illusion. You don't really do your job. Wow, you didn't think you were going to come here and hear that, did you? You don't really do your job. You do not do your work. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Why call ye me good? I of myself am nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth these good works." What was he doing? Was he talking about his miracles? The miracles that he was a vehicle in performing? He may have been. And you may be thinking that your job is not a miracle. But that doesn't enter into it. Jesus was saying that whatever he appeared to do, It wasn't really him, it wasn't the person that we called Jesus, who did all this stuff and deserved the credit for it. The credit goes to the Father within, that does all good, and that is the creator and orchestrator of all things. So do you do your job? No, of yourself you don't. But by the power of God working through you, you accomplish the work that is yours to accomplish in this world and on this plane. You came here with a sole purpose. It wasn't an accident. You were not an accident, no matter what anyone tells you. You have a divine purpose for being here. Maybe your job has something to do with that. Maybe your, let's say it like the ego says it, lack of a job has something to do with your purpose. Maybe your ego mind, again, unemployment, is part of your purpose. You don't know that it isn't. And in order to know whether it is, and what is really going on here, and what am I to do about all these things that are ever changing in my life, and my work, and I used to have security, but now I'm not so sure, what do I do about that? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And you're sitting there going, well, yeah, that was easy for Jesus to say, because he said he didn't do anything. And that's true, and that is where the rubber meets the road. That's where it's all at, and that is what we're getting at today. That's right. It was easy for Jesus to say, because he didn't take any credit for anything. He knew, and I don't mean knew intellectually. I mean he knew spiritually. There was a knowing in his soul. There was a peace and a calm and a security, a lasting security. Get this, lasting security in the soul of Jesus, because he knew that he of himself didn't do anything. And he gave the credit, always and forever and every time, not just sometimes, to the Father within him. And so he says to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This person called Jesus will give us rest? No. But the Christ mind that was in Jesus can also be in us, and is in us already, whether we acknowledge it or not. But when we shift our focus to it, and get rid of that lovely little ego we have, or maybe it's a big one, we get rid of that, and we allow the Christ mind to take over our lives, then that Christ mind gives us rest. I will give you rest. And then it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take his yoke? What the heck is a yoke? A yoke, in that time especially, and in some cultures today, was something that paired two things, usually animals, together. They would pull a cart, say, and these two animals would have a yoke that helped them to go in the same direction, that guided, and it was something that they both carried. Take my yoke upon you. It's a yoke. You can't carry it by yourself. That's not the way a yoke works. A yoke is for more than one being to carry. More than one person or animal or what have you carries a yoke. So Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. And it's implied that he's there too. If you take the yoke of the Christ mind upon you, you're not the only one carrying it. The Christ mind itself is carrying the yoke with you. And he continues, "For I take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Jesus, as a person, was gentle, but more than that, the Christ mind is gentle. It's kind of, do you know anyone who will just kind of sit there when people gather and observe their conversations, and then when somebody goes over and talks to this quiet person, it's not that they don't enter into conversation with you, but they seem to radiate a gentleness, a calm, a knowing, and that's why people go and talk to them, because they want that, consciously or unconsciously. They want to know what this quiet person has that they don't. And it doesn't mean that the quiet person doesn't have fun, or doesn't have loud moments, or doesn't rejoice, or is not joyful or happy, or, you know, laughing and has a sense of humor. No, not, it doesn't mean any of these things. But there is a gentleness that is always present. And that gentleness comes from the Christ mind. Oftentimes, when we see the word heart in the Bible, it can be interpreted as mind, as in the universal mind. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. He had a gentle mind. Jesus had a gentle mind that came from the Father within him. And what do we get for taking on the yoke of this Christ mind? For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're getting, look at what we're giving up, if you will. We're giving up this fear, the struggle, the wondering about security, any form of uncertainty, and every form of uncertainty, that's what we're giving up. And who wouldn't want to give that up? Now, the ego, it tries to cling. It's a cling-on. That's what it does. It doesn't want to give up these things. It thinks that it has to have them. And then when we attempt to give them up, it says, you can't give that up. Your life isn't hard enough now. It's too easy. You have too much peace. Yeah, right. If that's what you're hearing, that is so egotistical. It's, the ego is a maniac. That's why they call people egomaniacs, because it's the ego that is the maniac, not anything else within us. So when we hear these things that the ego says, we just have to laugh. We have to know enough spiritually and live enough of what we know to be able to laugh at that. Because if we can't, the ego can stick us, and it's so sticky, and it clings to us. But we can, thank God, by the power of this Christ mind that we are now yoked to, we can be free of that. And so we go back to our question, who does the work around here? Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. He didn't choose by his own disconnected, separated ego mind what he was going to do every day and where he was going to teach, or even whether he was going to teach and whether that was his purpose. He didn't decide through some intellectual process that, I am Jesus, hear me roar. No, he didn't do that. His purpose was already ordained for him as ours is for us. And when we connect with the Father within us and sublimate that ego We know, and we live. That statement, I am about my father's business. And he said, the father and I are one. The father and I. It's kind of like the king and I. Remember that musical? That was good. But there is I. There is me, who is a person and an individualized manifestation of God presence. And then there is the father. And we're not really separate. We're one. We are one. That is the truth. But fortunately or unfortunately, we can choose to live the illusion and the disillusionment that we are not one, that we are separate, that we, of our own power, must accomplish stuff in our lives. Wow, how disconnected is that? And we can choose to be connected. We can choose to acknowledge and recognize and realize and accept our oneness with the Father. And when we do, then we live the good life. We do what is ours to do, but it's not what we decide is ours to do. It's what the Father decides is ours. And we say, thank you, Father, for I could not have done this on my own. I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth these good works. Let's look now at our affirmations. I don't think these will need much explanation or deepening, but I encourage you to take them and use them in your daily life, whether you go to work or not, because either way, you have a work in this world. You have a purpose, and if you are to be about your Father's business, sometimes we need a tool to remind us of who we are. And that's what these affirmations are for. First one says recognition. I recognize that God is the ultimate doer. Nothing is separate from God, and nothing is accomplished apart from God. That's why we say God is the all in all. God is all there is. There is one life in this universe. That life is God's life, and that life is my life now. We don't just say all these things because they sound good, although they do. We say them because they're true. Nothing is accomplished apart from God. Even if you think that, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do today, in my job or otherwise, and it's not too hard. I know that I can accomplish this on my own. No, no, you can't. Because nothing is accomplished apart from God. Next one says, identification. I unite my mind with the power of God to accomplish all that is mine to do. I know this power is within me. It is naturally mine. I claim it now by focusing my attention and awareness on God power. What we want to look at here is, it says, to accomplish all that is mine to do. What the ego does is it volunteers itself for stuff. It gets into other people's business and it thinks it's responsible for their lives too, when really it can't even properly and successfully control your life. So how could it ever possibly control anyone else's? We see this in politics and in everything. I'm not going to get into examples of that, although I could, because we all know what goes on in the world. It's just one big old ego trip. So I accomplish what is mine to do. How do I know what is mine to do? I ask for guidance from the God mind within me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his right thinking. And all these things, everything that we need, all these things that are ours to do, shall be added unto you. Because remember, our intention is, I am about my Father's business. So, what is yours to do does not come from the ego, it comes from the Father. And we're identifying here that the God power is within us and it is our true nature. Because it is. The ego wants us to think that we're not good enough. Even though, somehow, at the same time, it thinks it can accomplish stuff. No. That's not even logical. It makes no common sense, and it makes no universal sense. And so we claim the God power by shifting our awareness and attention to it. The next affirmation says, realization. I realize God power in my life. I see it expressed in my personal and professional relationships, my family life, my job and career, my hobbies and all aspects of my life. My entire life is God's life individualized. And God is the conductor and orchestrator of everything. Realization means that we make whatever we're realizing our reality. So in this case, we make it real to ourselves. It is our new reality, our new experience, our new way of thinking to express God power in every area of our lives. Why and how? Because they're not really areas of our lives. They're aspects of God life. And our entire life is God life individualized. God has a purpose for individualizing, for manifesting, for being created as your life now. And your soul's purpose, by whatever means is your Father's business to do it, is to express that God power. And that's why we use this affirmation of realization here. And then we have acceptance. I accept God's direction in my work and life. When I think I deserve credit, I turn inward. I give up my personal ego and its will and give credit where it is due, to God. When others give me credit for accomplishments, I graciously thank them and gratefully give credit, as Jesus did, to the Father within me who doeth these good works. And let us, as we're open to this affirmation, continue into meditation where we will integrate these reprogramming affirmations and make ourselves free of the ego. Because if we know this freedom, even for just a moment, we know that it is possible. We have already experienced that, and we can therefore return to that. That free place where the Christ mind is truly in control of our lives. And so if you would get comfortable in your chair once more and close your eyes with me for a few moments of meditation. I turn inward for a few moments and recognize the glowing Christ mind within me. This is the light of life, a lamp of peace, and a safe harbor where I know that there is rest for my soul, my mind, and my body. I gratefully enter into this rest. To penetrate and saturate all aspects of my being and my life here on earth. I recognize that the Christ mind is always within me and within all things. I identify the Christ mind and the God presence within me as my true nature. And my soul, mind, and body are vehicles by which the Father conducts his business through me. I'm grateful for this realization, and so I give over my personal ego and its will, and all my thoughts, words, and actions to the Father within me. And I declare, the Father and I are one. I give thanks to the Father who created me and who restores and sustains me, maintaining health, peace, love, and prosperity in my outer life, in all my mental activities, in everything that I radiate to myself and others. And in the calm, centered spirit that is the God presence at the center of my mind. I know that I have a purpose and a business to conduct for my Father. Otherwise, I wouldn't exist. I give thanks for this purpose, and I open to expressing and living it by the power of the Father. For this realization, I give thanks. I let it be so, now and always, and so it is.